If you have your Bibles with you, I want to look at the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 2, we're going to read from Galatians 2:15 down to chapter 3, verse 3 of Galatians. Galatians chapter 2, we're going to start in verse 15, we're going to read down to chapter 3 and stop in verse 3 of chapter 3. So Galatians chapter 2, starting in verse 15, please hear this public reading of God's word. We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners, yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law no one will be justified. But if, in our endeavor to be justified in Christ, we too were found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not. For if I rebuild what I tore down, I prove myself to be a transgressor. For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? So as we come to our time of confession, I just want to focus in on one basic thing today, and it's this. It's the gospel and our proneness to wander away from the gospel. The gospel and our proneness to wander from the gospel. We have the gospel powerfully portrayed in chapter 2, verse 16. Paul says, yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law, no one will be justified. And then verse 20 of chapter 2, wonderful verse. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Here's the gospel. The Son of God loved us. He gave himself for us. We're justified by faith in Christ alone, not by works. That's the gospel. And yet we're prone, like the Galatian believers, to wander from this gospel truth. Look at verse 1 of chapter 3. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Now, Paul is not calling into question their intellectual wisdom right here. There may have been very brilliant intellectual people in the church at Galatia, but what he's doing is he's calling them foolish spiritually speaking. They have been foolish. They've acted as if somebody has cast a spell on them. And then verse 3 again, he says, are you so foolish spiritually speaking? Are you so foolish having begun by the Spirit? Are you now being perfected by the flesh? New Testament scholar Tom Schreiner has said that as Christians, we need to relearn the gospel every day. We are prone to wander, as the old hymn says. We just sang this hymn. We're prone to wander away from the gospel. So the Christian life is a battle to rely on the gospel. And even as Christians, we are inclined to look to ourselves and trust in our own achievements rather than relying solely on the cross of Christ. We may slowly drift from the gospel, just as the Galatians did. The Christian life cannot be lived on autopilot. There is a daily struggle to grasp the gospel. So three questions as we come to our time of confession. Number one, have we tried to measure our acceptance before God on the basis of our performance this week? Number two, have we lived by our works or have we lived by the gospel? And number three, have we fallen into good day, bad day thinking in our approaches to God? Have we fallen into good day, bad day thinking in our approaches to God? So I want to read an extended quote from D.A. Carson on this third question. It's a long quote, but it's worth staying with me because he makes a profound point at the end of this quote. He's talking about good day, bad day thinking and our approaches to God. He's going to start with a bad day. See if you've ever had a day that runs something like this. You get up in the morning. It is drizzly and hot, and the air conditioner is broken. You reach for a clean, fresh pair of socks, and you can't find two that match. You stub your toe on that nail sticking out of the wall that you knew you should have fixed about 3 years ago. You cut yourself while you're shaving. You stumble down to breakfast, and that day your wife is going out for a special meeting with her friends and has not done anything. You go out to the car, put your key in the ignition, and it will not start. You knew that you should have had the battery checked, and it is deader than a dodo. You get to work late, and people are saying rude things about you. Then your boss says, have you finished that report yet? You're staying late tonight if you haven't. The whole day unfolds in one endless set of many irritants. You have an opportunity to speak to a non-Christian friend at the gas station, and you are already in such a sour frame that when they ask some dumb question about religion, you answer with a kind of condescending wit that leaves them shriveled up in a pile of embarrassment. You feel guilty, but you have done it now. Eventually, you return home, and your wife has cooked this disgusting stew that your children like, but that you detest. You cannot be civil to her. She cannot be civil to you. The kids that night are really not behaving particularly well. Finally, it's time for bed at the end of this long day, and your prayer runs something like this. Dear God, this has been a rotten day. I'm not very proud of myself. I'm frankly ashamed, but I really don't have anything to say. I'm sorry I have not done better. Forgive my sin. Bless everybody in the world. Your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Here comes the good day. But then a few days later, you wake up to find the air is refreshingly cool. The sun is shining. The windows are open. The fresh air is wafting through the screen, and you hear the birds singing. You smell something delightful. Bacon! I can't believe it. I wonder what the celebration is. You get up and reach for clean socks and feel full of energy. You're whistling as you wash in the bathroom, and then you have a wonderful quiet time with your spouse. You eat a hearty breakfast, and then you go out to your car, put the key in the ignition, and vroom, the car starts right up and takes off. You get to work early. Everybody commends your industriousness and intelligence in the way you discharge your duties. Your boss says, wonderful to see you today. Did I tell you that you're getting a raise? You did such a great job on that contract. Now, you come across that same person at the gas station, and wonder of wonders, the poor guy actually asks another question. This time, however, you respond with wisdom, gentleness, understanding, courtesy, insight, and kindness. Lo and behold, he promises to come to church with you this coming Sunday. Then you arrive home, and there is a joyous family dinner. The kids are behaving, and you have intimate conversation with your wife while the two of you clean up the kitchen. Finally, at the end of that day, you get down to pray, and your prayer goes something like this. Eternal and matchless God, we bow in your glorious presence with brokenness and gratitude. We bless you that in your infinite mercies and great grace you have poured favor upon us. We are not worthy of the least of your mercies. And now you go on and on in flowery theological language. You thank God for all the things in the day. And then you pray for missionaries and their children and first cousins twice removed. Then you start praying for everyone you can think of in your church. And then you meditate on all the names of Christ that you can think of in Scripture. An hour goes by. And you go to bed and instantly fall asleep. Indeed, you go to sleep justified. On which of these two occasions have you fallen into the dreadful trap of paganism? Which one have we fallen into works-based religion? God help us. The sad reality is that both approaches to God are abominations. How dare we approach the mercy seat of God on the basis of what kind of day we had, as if that were the basis for our entrance into the presence of the sovereign and holy God. This is works theology. It has nothing to do with grace and the exclusive sufficiency of Christ. Nothing. That is why we can never get very far from the cross without distorting something fundamental. If we drift far from the cross, we are done. We are defeated. We dare to approach a holy God, praying in Jesus' name, appealing to the blood of the Lamb. So have we fallen into good day, bad day thinking in our approaches to God? Jerry Bridges says that our default setting is to live by our works. And he continues and says, our worst days are never so bad that they are beyond the reach of God's grace, and our best days are never so good that they are beyond the need of God's grace. Therefore, every day of our life should be a day of relating to God on the basis of His grace alone. In order for us to do that, the gospel has to be central and the cross has to be central. I'll give you a few moments to pray silently and I'll close us in prayer. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we're just thankful for another chance to come here and to worship you and to sing with your people. But Father, as we consider this short passage that we just looked at in Galatians 2 and the beginning of 3, we must confess that so often that we are like these believers in the church at Galatia, so often we can act foolish, spiritually speaking. So often, Father, we can be like the Galatian believers and we can drift away from the gospel. Father, forgive us for falling into works based religion. Forgive us from drifting from the gospel, Forgive us from falling into good day, bad day thinking in our approaches to you. But Father, we are so thankful for the gospel. We're so thankful that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We're so thankful that you have cast our sins as far as the east is from the west. We're so thankful that while we were yet sinners, that Christ would die for us, that he would die for the ungodly, Father. I pray that we would be quick to run back to the cross, that we would be quick to meditate on the gospel day in and day out. And Father, I pray that we would be quick to point others in this room back to the gospel, that we'd be quick to remind each other, Father, because we're so prone to wander away from it. I pray that we'd be quick to point each other back to the gospel, that we would regularly race back to the cross of Christ. And Father, even as Ian leads us in this next song, I pray that we would see the beauty and the truth of the gospel on display in this song. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.